Hey folks, Matt Donald here. Subscribe to my Patreon! I don't have anything else to say. Patreon.com/MatthewDonald.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that's iguana done. My name is Matthew Donald. Each week, I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate adjacent prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone who is just iguana getting started. It's been a Regan. How are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. Sorry about the voice. I'm eating at the same time of recording.
That's okay. I will take a slurp of my podcast juice, as Matt Seifert and I call it in our old podcast. Good stuff. Very professional, you and I. So, this is terrible news I found out recently. I think I'll leave this in because some people might wonder what's going on. So, for the longest time, I had two podcasts. I've had this, Paleobites, and I've had the Ritwit. So, the Ritwit, it's gone. It's lost media.
Ah, what?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a few episodes of it available still on YouTube. But so, when I stopped doing that podcast, I stopped hosting it, which was a mistake. I should have kept hosting it online because I thought, oh, since I'm not uploading episodes, I might as well not pay to host it. But then I didn't realize that would get rid of the ones that were already up there, too. So they're no longer online. And then my hard drive crashed.
Oh, no.
So almost all the episodes, except for the ones that managed to make it onto YouTube, are gone. They're not just like, oh, the podcast isn't going anymore. They are lost media. And I'm really mad. Because, like, oh, there was some good stuff there. There was some good... I wrote a lot of good skits there for episodes. The 100th episode skit was pretty ridiculous. And, yeah. But Matt and I are going to hopefully start a new podcast and start over, start fresh, start anew.
Because what did the Rit do again? I don't recall ever listening
to it.
It
was just about writing tips. And tricks. So, it's good stuff. I really enjoyed it. We did end it having to write a new skit every week and having to do all this stuff every week. And especially when, unlike Paleobites, it was just one co-host. So we had to, rather than just me and a bunch of other people, so I can work it around with them. But no, since it was just him and we both had to sync our schedules together, it was a lot. And it was the reason why we stopped. So, but it's been enough time and I've learned enough lessons on how to properly use this that I think I'm willing to start anew. We're going to do a new podcast, and I'm going to back it up this time because backups are very important, particularly
even
the
if
age.
You just get like a 1 terabyte external hard drive and put it on there. I mean,
exactly,
I've got one,
although
I can't use mine because it hasn't been used in years, and now it keeps asking to format whenever it gets plugged in, and when it's done, the format fails.
Oh, man.
I think I've gotten this a few mods because I used to use it to bypass my previous desktop from in between this one and the laptop. Oh, no, the laptop, was in between the two for years. But I would store data on it so it didn't take up actual RAM and that on the main PC, but that ran into issues where if it you had to reboot the system or had an update, some of the files would be on the main PC while most on the hard drive, so then when it tried to access them, if they were missing, it would go bonk and not work correctly.
Oh no, this just didn't sync, I guess, or like, yeah.
Well, it's more even when you're installing all the games onto the external parts, and would still go onto your main, like, C drive and stuff.
As it turns
out, and not just programs files. I don't claim to understand how it all works.
Absolutely. So, it's amazing we have all this stuff with, like, digital data and, like, trying to save all that stuff, when really we as humans started out as creatures like Australopithecus. And speaking of which...
speaking of which, go ahead.
Flawless segue, as always. So, Australopithecus, it means southern ape. Probably because... that's more southern than some of the other apes? Why is it called southern ape? we probably should have looked this up.
Yeah, it comes from the Latin Australis, which means southern, and Pithecus, which means ape in Greek. And so that's why Australia's got its name, because it means southern land.
Yeah, exactly. And also the Boreo Austrius, which is the southern lights, was supposed to... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Austro... Aurora Australis rather than Aurora Borealis. The Southern Lights rather than Northern Lights. So, it looks like maybe it's because they were found in Southern Africa and other, like, hominid relatives were found further north. So that's probably the reason. I will say that's the reason until being told otherwise.
It might also factor in because, let's face it, unless you count the gibbons and the orangutans, which do count, but they're over in another part of the world.
Right.
Chimpanzees and gorillas are generally north of the Sahara zones, like Central Africa and West Africa, not East Africa, to my understanding. I could be wrong.
Right. No, yeah, they're mainly in Central Africa. They're south of the Sahara, for sure. But yeah, so anyway, so type, it's like the ape, it's a hominid, which is also known as the great apes, which includes chimpanzees, gorillas, orangutans, and humans. Size 4 to 4.5 feet, slash 1.2 to 1.4 meters tall. So a little bit, quite a bit shorter than us on average.
Children size, usually like intermediate age or junior high for the States.
Diet omnivore, very much picked fruit off of trees, but then also, you know, ate some meat, which helped
believed to be our
brain size.
One of our ancestors that, like, that branch, because we don't know which Australopithecus malign actually leads to us, although, again, data could have changed.
Right.
But we believe that's when they started mastering fire by picking burning sticks and cooking food, or even using it just to keep predators away from their nesting areas.
I've heard that the fire usage of fire started with Homo erectus. I don't think Australopithecus did it yet. In fact, it says here that it's debated the Australopithecus hand is atomically capable of producing stone tools.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, because I think I remember hearing the Homo habilis, which is, I think, the first human. Well, no, there's Homo erectus. And it, yeah. Homo habilis didn't really... Wait, no, Homo habilis was first. Yeah, or Homo rudolfensis, which is...
Rudolfensis is a... I won't bother looking it up, but from what I remember from the Walking with Caveman book, which I got, and the documentary. They treated it as sort of like a bigger, more apified version of the Australopithecines, or habilis is towards human, but not quite. So not quite erectus, but not quite Australopithecus. And then, of course, you had the Paranthropus, which they call Boisei and that. But I think there's debate with fruit offences, like whether it's just a variation in gender or age or thing. You know, like how there used to be a lot of Triceratops species and now a few of them are growth stages or just variations in the horns?
Well, that's kind of like what happened with Apatosaurus, because like there was 12 species of Apatosaurus, and then now there's 10, because two of them have been reassigned back to Brontosaurus as of 2015. So,
and then you had the same with Iguanodon, where a lot of them are now, they're distinct enough that
like
they're like
Dakota Don,
or Europa, no, I think Europhosaurus is a sauropod, but...
Or like, what's that one called? Begins with a B. Oh, no, it begins with an E, I'm sorry, Eolambia.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Time, speaking of which, when did all this happen? So, early Pliocene to early Pleistocene, 4.5 to 1.2 million years ago.
There's an interesting
some of them lived
thing. If they include Paranthropus as an Australopithecine instead of their own group, from what it's saying here, they might have actually made it through to 0.6 million years ago.
Wow. They're getting close to this and Homo sapiens coalescing. Like... The date for Homo sapiens is going further and further back. So, it's, like, we used to think it was like 100,000 years ago, then we think it's 200,000 years ago. Now some people are saying it's 300,000 years ago.
There's a lot of inconsistencies and, not inconsistencies, indecision there, but an uncertainty, because we're learning more and more, but all it's doing is, not only is it reinforcing the fact that we evolved, but it's, and came from close relatives of the great apes, but it's also making everything else all muddled because there's so many branches and roots and stuff coming off. It's like, hang on, which is where now?
Exactly.
Like with Homo floresius, for example, without being away from this, because it's a bit more primitive and usually an organism, while the evolution isn't, you know, a one-way street, generally an
organism
doesn't
get
more primitive unless an avatism shows up, which is rare. But, like, they're not sure whether it's an offshoot of Homo erectus or another earlier human wave, or it might have been a convergent evolution of an Australopithecine branch, because apparently there are theories that some Australopithecines did come out of Europa, out of Africa, like Europa, Pithecus or whatever it's called, or was it Graciopithecus or something? The one they found in
Greece. Yeah, there's a lot. There's Graciopithecus. Yeah, there's Oreopithecus, which is hilarious.
Oreo.
That's
what?
Or as in the chocolate cookie. Or is it chocolate? I don't know what those are.
No, I've heard of those because they're also sticks. I was eating one before.
Oreos are good.
But, that's well, not.
It surely has a different reason. Oh, it means hill ape, like Oro, like Orodromius. Like, right, so I mean, that just means mountain runner. So yeah, or Oreopithecus. So there's Oreos, when you eat Oreos, you're eating mountains. Keep that in mind, listeners. So, so there's also Oronopithecus. There's a lot of Pithecuses. Pithecuses. Yeah, Salahinathropus. It's just interesting to look at the branch lean to humanity, because like when I'm looking up, have you heard of Purgatorius?
No.
Okay, so when looking, I looked this up for the last Megazoic book. A spoiler alert for my Megazoic books: the final book involves a great battle that ends up creating an explosion that causes the crater in the Yucatan, and the dinosaurs have to leave after defeating the villain. And when I go back to Earth after showing the dinosaurs in space, I show a Purgatorius. And it's like a squirrel-like a little squirrel-like mammal that's like gathering sort of nuts and other stuff, and it talks about how it's basically saying like the legacy of this critter will extend in ways beyond what it could comprehend yet. Eventually, its descendants would form their own civilization, the first one to rise on Earth since the dinosaurs. However, you probably already know that story. That's the final words of the final Megazoic book. And it's because Purgatorius was the very first. It wasn't a primate yet, but it was a proto-primate, and it lived in the Cretaceous, and then into the Paleocene.
Oh, that kind of rodent-y, shrew-like type, where it's on the way to primate, but still kind of indeterminate.
Yeah, it looks more like a squirrel, yeah. it lived from 67 to 63 million years ago. Was one of the animals that survived the meteor. So, and it's the one that evolved in us, so thank God it did. And evolved into Australopithecus, which, by the way, location all throughout East and South Africa. Described in 1925, pop culture appearances, walking with beasts, obviously, walking with cavemen, obviously, and many, many, many different books about cavemen. You probably have a few that you know for sure. So,
well, I've got some ones that are inheritance, or that I might as well be inherited, given granddad's gone and grandma's got dementia.
Oh man!
And then I've got the Walking with Caveman one, but yeah, point being, yeah, I've got some caveman books.
It was interesting. There was definitely interesting to see them in Walking with Beasts, and I think it was also an interesting choice to make them CGI rather than. I know they do, in Walking with Cavemen, they don't. They use makeup and do like a Planet of the Apes style,
yeah, just not
or
as impressive.
2001 style, 2001 thing. Which I don't like the CGI models. They look a bit off.
Uncanny Valley.
A bit Uncanny Valley, but like maybe they did that to make it look more consistent with the rest of the animals.
Could have been. It might just have been because they're or they kind of changed it for Walking with Caveman by using people in suits and costume, as you just said. I think they were worried about because Australopithecus, Lucy's species, Afrarensis, or is it Africanus? They are a great deal shorter than your average European, Asian, African, what have you. So, and I don't think they wanted to cast a bunch of kids in the role because that would make the acting more difficult.
So, well, you don't necessarily have to do that.
Wrong,
do like what Lord of the Rings
did.
That's
just my guess as to why they CGI'd them. Probably to keep them.
You could do Lord of the
size.
Rings and like do scale, like make it so that like because there are ways to show make them look smaller than they actually are, like to the scale. Like even like in The Hobbit, where it's mostly just a bunch
Willow
of dwarves.
And Matt back pre-Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, but like even in the Hobbit movies where it was mostly just dwarves and Bilbo, one of the ways they look small despite being normal-sized actors is they gave them big, oversized clothes and big shoes, which obviously they couldn't do with Australopithecus, I guess, but but there are ways, like that party scene in Fellowship of the Ring, Bilbo's birthday party, it's just short people and Gandalf, and yet they all look short because of how they... Film.
I think
it's,
it must have come down to budget because it's been on the BBC isn't going to fork out a massive amount for that when the CGI is in and of itself is already expensive. You can imagine how much more expensive costumes
would be. Did Walking with Cavemen have any CGI? Oh, I think it just reused models from Walking with Beasts, didn't it, most of the time?
Yeah,
or, and I don't have Gigantopithecus.
I haven't watched it in ages, but there is definitely some CGI, like when you see Gigantopithecus.
Yeah, so...
Which, rather than being depicted as a big orangutan, was depicted as a big gorilla, basically King Kong.
Well, that's what they used to think. That's why it was a big gorilla in Kong, like King Kong, because around that time but now, since we know it was more orangutan based, there was no way a Gigantopithecus descendant like whatever was Kong. What's his scientific name? Something Kong.
Megaprimatus Kong or something.
Oh, Megaprimatus Kong. That's right. Yes. It wouldn't have
or
been
something
a,
very close
so gorilla like. Yeah, like it wouldn't have been a gorilla like. It would have been orangutan like, which would have been interesting to say. So. But to be fair, that's also the only King Kong to just basically be a giant gorilla. Most of the others are like gorilla men. So
that would justify half of what Kong was doing in the Kong, Peter Jackson Kong, though, if he was more orangutan-like, because orangutans don't knuckle walk anywhere near as much, and while they spend a lot of time in the trees, they can also do a lot more of their handsy stuff that Kong does, whereas gorillas just tend to use hands for walking unless they're sitting
right
down.
And plus, an orangutan, I think, would do a lot better on the Empire State Building. But yeah. Anyways, Australopithecus, though. So, it's just interesting to see this. There's so many different steps that, like, turn squirrels, like Purgatorius, into humans. And it's like, you have to almost have, like, in order to have the grasping hands, you need to almost be evolved from an arboreal creature that goes onto the ground. So, something that can use its claws to climb, and then when it gets on the ground, but keeps its hands are, you know, you're free to do other things. Like, there's so many specific things that have to happen in order for this to evolve into humans. So, it's just very fascinating to see.
A fluke with, climatically, or maybe not a fluke, but, like, the common theory is that the spread of grassland and the drying out of the forest, the savannah, is what pushed them to come down and start walking upright, because they needed to be able to see over the grass.
Oh, that's true. Yes, yes.
And then from there, brains start increasing because behavioral complexity, because their hands are free. The posture's got to increase.
Well, that's sort of one of the reasons why octopi are so intelligent, is because they have only a year to learn how to use all their tentacles. So,
that's right, because most octopuses die after breeding, don't they?
Yes. A couple years ago, I went to an octopus farm, not a farm, a laboratory, in Hawaii, when I visited Hawaii a couple years ago. And they studied the octopi there, and then you got to be with them, they all had names, and you got to play with them, you know, they'd wrap your little tentacles around you. It was really cool. You had to be careful, though, because they could bite, apparently. So.
And suckers can hurt in and of themselves, too, because they got little hooks.
They grip hard. And also, they could spray you with their little tube thing that goes from side to side, like, if they wanted to.
Oh,
but some of them were playful, some of them were shy, some of them were, they felt really weird on you. But anyways, the point is, like, they only lived a year. Like, they mentioned one of them was an old man at, like, 10 months. I'm like, oh, poor guy, so
exactly.
Old. 10 months. but no, it's amazing, like, the brain power that came from Australopithecus. Like, it's just... So, it's like, looking at, like, the taxonomy, it's I mean, obviously, it's such an interesting form of study because this is where we came from. This isn't just dinosaurs or, like...
Exactly.
You know, mammoths. This is us. This is where... So, of course, there'd be more interest in something like this. And it's ridiculously convoluted. There's so many different Australopithecus species. There's so many different hominids. And... Kenyanthropus, Paranthropus, Homo, Oronun. What's Oronun? Oronuntunius is a postulates early species. Oh, so it's postulated. So it's a hypothetical species? Oh, no, there's a phalange. Okay, so.
Looking at this African hominin timeline graphing on Wikipedia, like, you've got Australopithecus cadaver, Australopithecus ramenus, Australopithecus amensis, Australopithecus afarensis, and then Africanus.
Yeah, Africanus. Yep. I think I'm looking
Dirimedia,
at Dirimida, Barrigalzi. Are these all Platops?
And then there's a really late one, well after all the others, unless you count the Paranthropus lines like the Sandu, which is Australopithecus cebida.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or Sabida or something, I'll bring it up.
Something like that, yeah. But there's
It's a South African species, too.
Oh, that's cool. It's so fascinating, the evolution of humans. It's just like how... And, like, it was such a dangerous world for them, too. It wasn't quite like... in the Walking with Beasts episode, it made it seem that, like, they were hunted by Dinofelis or the Sabretooth. We were hunted by leopards. That was our
and
main killer.
And we were
killer.
Vulnerable. We didn't have the advantage the homo species do once they start using hand axes. Although they probably could have mobbed like carnivores off their kills by running at them and confusing them, then grab chunks of meat, climb the tree. Which you do see
right.
in Walking with Beast.
Right, exactly. So, this is a fun thing I learned. And again, this shows the, how much of what we know, what our current understanding is, or our current living as humans in the modern day is compared to, is how, based on how we evolved. So, like, the reason why some people are night owls and some people aren't is because back during days like this, where some of us had to sleep, but in some parts of the group, the troops would have to stay up and look out for the leopards. And that's because that's why some people are night owls and some people aren't, because of that trait that evolved from this time. So if you ever find yourself playing video games at 4 a.m, you have a trait that's been passed down since Australopithecus.
Here's an interesting thing we might as well throw in since we've just kind of been talking all over the place. It's just, according
I mean,
to
like,
the
it's
chimpanzee
fine.
Genome Project, the human chimpanzee last common ancestor existed about 5 to 6 million years ago, assuming a constant rate of mutation. However, hominin species dated to earlier than that could call this into question. Sahelanthropus chediensis, I think the T silent, commonly called Tumai, is about 7 million years old, and Orangutangensis, I think that's the one you mentioned, lived at least 6 million years ago. Since little was known of them, they remain controversial among scientists, since the molecular clock in humans has determined that chimpanzees and humans had a genetic split at least 1 million years later. One theory suggests that the human and chimpanzee lines diverged somewhat at first, and then some populations interbred again, basically diverged enough to be considered distinct, but still enough to genetics will be passed on even with a lot of infertility.
Well, that happened. Of course, there's the classic, some people have Neanderthal blood still in them today, which is often where we think red hair came
and
from.
Denisovians and
also,
in that.
Also, apparently, I've heard that, maybe you told me this, someone told me this, that people with Neanderthal DNA in them are more susceptible to COVID-19. So, they're still.
I don't think I told you that. I think I told you that they believe that autism might come from it.
Oh, well, okay, cool.
Well, that does sound like hell of a stretch, but maybe it could be just due to some genes that don't quite gel,
possibly,
which creates divergences.
Possibly, but
I don't
like,
know.
It's interesting you bring up the diverging point between chimps and humans, because that's like a point that a lot of creationists are like, if we evolved from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? And like, well, we evolved. Okay, monkeys is simplifying, of course. And also, it's like, we didn't evolve from the current day primates.
Yeah, it's an idiot argument anyway. A species can evolve, and that old relic species can still be there even as things branch off from it. Like,
The like as
birds that went
we've
to the Galapagos,
here,
their ancestors still exist.
Like, as we've seen here, Australopithecus was still around when Homo erectus was still around. So, the last
was still
species
around when we were still around.
Exactly. So, like, and yeah, so it's happened. And also, it's just we both evolved from a proto thing that evolved in two of those things. We didn't evolve from the ones that are currently around, you know? So
yeah, exactly. It's not like Pokemon evolution, which is more like metamorphosis, like cocoon to thing.
But yeah, like, we're kind of going all over the place, because there's so much to talk about. But again, this is Paleo Bites, not Paleo five-course dinners. So I think we've kind of summed it up, basically. It's a early species of ape that evolved into us, that but had a lot of different branches that evolved in different... Because there used to be so many different types of humans. Human and Homo sapiens are not synonymous. They are now, I guess, because we're the only ones. But the like Neanderthals were another species of human. Homo florensis, the hobbit people, were another species of human. Like, Homo erectus, another species of human. So
not quite
human.
Another species in the way, like, lions and tigers are separate species, but more like the what you'd get with, like, tigers.
Well, I don't think it's exactly like lions and tigers, because Panthera leo and Panthera, whatever tiger is, versus...
What I mean is that they're clearly fully separate species, even though they can still interbreed, whereas Homo sapiens and Neanderthal... Incis are more like Bali tiger and Caspian tiger, if you get what I mean. They're still within the same thing.
Right. Well, it's like, Panthera, Panthera leo is the lion, and then Panthera, what's the tiger? Well, hold on,
Panthera
this
tigris.
Is going to drive me crazy. Panthera tigris, that makes sense. So, versus Homo erectus and Homo sapiens, for instance, so. But yeah. But to be fair, Panthera is a G. It goes really far. Like, there's. Like, the Jaguar is Panthera, even though it's in the New World. So.
I just looked it up. It's Panthera, Tigris, Tigris, a bit like Gorilla is Gorilla, Gorilla.
Oh, there's so many ones like that. Like, the North American Plains Bison is Bison, Bison, Bison. So. Yeah.
And the chimpanzee is Pan Troglodytes because we used to think it lived in caves.
Oh, God. There's some taxonomists are not clever. But, yeah. Basically, Australopithecus is a very fascinating creature. How it evolved is very fascinating. Humans' evolution is incredibly fascinating. There's so much we could talk about. I think we've covered the basics so that if listeners are intrigued, they can use this as a jumping-off point to learn more, which is what I've always intended this podcast to be. This podcast is never meant to be, this is all the information about. This is like, now you know about the initial thing of the creature. If you want to learn more, now you know that it exists. So,
indeed.
So that's one of the reasons why I don't mind like Jurassic World or other stuff throwing in random species like Atrociraptor, even though it doesn't look a lot like it, because now people know that Atrociraptor exists and they can look up the real animal if they want. It gave them the opportunity exactly. They didn't have before. So it was so cool going through the Lego aisles and seeing an Ostoraptor. I keep seeing Ostoraptor, Atrociraptor chase sequence and chase scene in like a. In Lego form, so you got Lego Atrociraptors.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of Dominion, that chase scene, even though realistically those injuries done from that they had during the run would have killed them, let alone the fact they couldn't run that speed for so long.
When the plane is taken off, they must be running about 100 miles an hour at least if they're catching up with the plane.
And the human can't even run that fast for that long, so how are they keeping up with a moving car? But it's fun.
But it is. Cool, and I also like how they're like a dark version of like the evil variants, evil counterparts of the Raptor Squad in the first movie, to the point where one of them is named Red. But let's rate Australopithecus 165 million. I'm gonna give it like a 57 million because like it's cool, but I don't know. Like I'm not really much of an ape guy. I don't know
I'm
why.
With you there.
Like I think it's cool from the perspective of showing how we evolved, but apes are gross. Like chimpanzees, gross, and also scary.
And if a chimpanzee smiles at you, don't smile back. It's not a happy thing. It's a warning.
Yeah, it's baring its teeth in an aggressive way. So like, yeah, exactly. And like,
I learned it the hard way when I volunteered at Wellington Zoo. I smiled at the young chimpanzee who was born around the time I was there, and his mother flipped out at the glass.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Oh, I didn't get injured or anything.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
Like, chimps are dangerous.
Yeah, they are. And also, like, I know some people find it interesting that how intelligent they are, like Jane Goodall does, and like all this, which is cool research. But to me, since they're so human-like, it's not as impressive to me that they're so intelligent as it is, like, a bird or, like, a crow, you know, or a parrot. Like, that being so intelligent is more impressive to me because they're so unhuman-like, but they're still so intelligent, so... But yeah, I'm not discounting Australopithecus in terms of its research and what it's done for us, our paleontology and anthropology in this case almost, is quite cool. So I'll 57 million.
I'll probably rate it 40 million.
Yep. 40 million? You got it. All right, so that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at paleobitespod@gmail.com, paleobitespod@gmail.com, paleobitespod on Twitter, and paleobitespodcast on Instagram, or Matthew Donald, creator on Facebook, and Matthew Donald 64 everywhere else, so like Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, all that sort of stuff. It is Twitter.
Me, you can contact me through Matt.
Don't look if you have anything, questions.
I like my privacy.
I mean, fair enough. It's fair enough. It's fine. I mean, I've been friends with you for over 15 years, and it was only like when I started doing this podcast that I first heard your voice. So.
True. I think you had seen an image of me before then, though, because I put one on old forms, and you said I look like Shia LaBeouf or Balfour, whatever you said.
You did! I don't think you do quite as much now, but you did.
No, I don't dress that way, and I don't have the same facial structures as my nose is broken for a start.
And also, you're not nearly as psychologically damaged.
maybe. I'm pretty effed in the head.
Well, yeah, but we all are to a point. Not to say, like, oh, we're all a little autistic, but, you know, everyone has their problems.
I can come up with some incredibly deranged stuff. I just have a good lid on it.
Oh, absolutely. Agreed. Same here. All right, that's it for this week. I say the end of every episode of Paleobites. I mean, there's only one thing to say. It's, ooh, 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 Piece of Jar Jar banana.
I don't know where that one came from.
The disrespect, man. All right, bye.